Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by Ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I'm joined not by Steve this week, but by my brother, Joel Dudley. Joel Dudley, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Todd Dudley. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm very well. For those that didn't know, we do have the same surname. Slightly different one. This episode, we are recording remotely from Rome.
We are.
Because we are here for the Ryder Cup.
We are indeed. Lucky, lucky us.
Which is quite good. Very lucky. We considered launching a golf podcast, but we thought we'd just talk about rugby instead because, well, I'm actually really bad at golf and rugby, and you're really good at both.
True, but you probably know more about both than I do.
That might be true. That might be true. Well, I don't know. Golf, I struggle.
I can confirm for the listeners, he really does struggle.
Yes, struggle both on the course and off the course, unfortunately. But I'm having a great time. It's been good.
Yes.
For the listener, we are recording, what day is it? Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Wednesday, so we've seen a couple of practice days so far. I assume there's quite a lot of crossover, rugby fans, golf fans.
I would imagine 90% of the people would prefer golf.
So let's do circa 90 seconds on golf.
Yeah.
Who's going to win?
Europe.
Love it. What's the score going to be?
16-12.
Oh my God.
Is that right?
That's right. That works out. And who's MVP?
Ludwig is going to win 4 points.
Ludwig Aberg.
Yeah, he's going to go unbeaten. He's going to miss one of the duos.
Yeah.
And he's going to win. And he's going to win his singles 7-6.
We had it here first, folks. We also watched the celeb match today.
We did.
Distinct lack of rugby players.
Yes. Favourite celebrities, I would say?
Ooh. As a golfer?
Yeah.
As a golfer, I'm going to go with Garrett from Dude Perfect.
Oh, agreed.
Thought he was very good. Just as a celeb. And he's Bale or Djokovic, isn't it? Really.
I do like the F1, but I'll probably agree with you.
Oh, Carlos Sainz.
He's a good looking man.
Carlos Sainz, he's a handsome, handsome man. Okay, that was maybe more than 90 seconds, so let's do some rugby chat instead.
Yes, let's go.
It's going to be a quick one this week because we're both tired and would like to go to bed, especially you. Again, for the listener, off on tangents all over the place. Joel is very protective over his sleep, and it's currently 9:02 in the PM, which means we're getting dangerously close to bedtime.
We are. I am a man that does work shifts, so I'm very, very precious, and if I don't get it, it's going to be a big old day tomorrow. And I am also tour guide around Rome for the day tomorrow, so I need to be on best energy levels.
He's a man that works shifts, which is good for us because he's going to put an absolute shift in tonight. Here we go. Right, so we're looking back to sort of the last round of games. I was going to say last weekend, but it's kind of spread over a few days. We kick things off 38-17, Italy against Uruguay. Anything at all to say about that?
As we're in Italy, well done, Italy.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Very good, the Italians.
What's an Italian thing to say?
Forza Italia.
Yeah, Forza Italia.
There you go.
Very good.
And well played, Uruguay. You gave it a good go.
Well done. And as we're recording, actually, Uruguay just won their first ever World Cup game. So double shout out, Uruguay. Thursday night.
Oh boy.
Oh, good God. France, Namibia. I don't know whether you listened to the last episode of the podcast, Joe. I'm sure you did.
Oh yeah, tune in every week.
Yeah, of course you do. Well, we don't release every week, so you do well to tune in every week. But I said that I thought that could be 100-0.
That's a good effort.
And I was remarkably close. France 96, Namibia 0.
Confirmed you were still wrong.
I was still wrong. I normally am. But at least I put things on the line.
Yeah.
The big story from the game is not 96 points.
No.
It is the main man, the French talisman, the face of the World Cup. But that face is now broken.
It is.
Antoine Dupont broke his jaw, broke his cheek.
Cheek, I
broke his cheek.
Yes.
From a high tackle.
Yeah.
Which was not great.
No. 6 week ban.
6 week ban, which I think is a bit much. But I think if it's not Dupont, I think he's getting a slap on the wrist. That's what I'm saying. I think he's playing on, to be honest. If I'm being totally honest. If that's the other way around, if that's Dupont peppering Namibia in the face.
He's not getting a ban, that's for sure.
But yeah, so he's currently out. The chat at the moment is that he's going to be back for the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
He's had his operation like the day after.
Yeah.
I think they're looking at the legality behind what kind of face mask you can wear.
Okay.
It would be back, won't he?
Yeah, I don't see any world where he isn't playing in a knockout game in France. At least starting. Obviously, it will depend if he gets hit, if it was, yeah. But the man's also a bit of a freak. He's probably, that bone will probably heal by now.
Yeah, he's probably fine.
Yeah.
The Wolverine of French rugby. He was also quite good in that first half.
Only slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He dabbles.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to say when you weigh up how good everyone else in the world is.
Yes.
But he is so far clear of everyone else in world rugby right now. And if he was to stay fit for a few more years, you can't look past him as becoming one of the best players of all time.
I think if they win the World Cup this year, I think he's in the mix straight away. He is an absolute joke.
Yeah.
He's got every asset of every position you'd want.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing he cannot do.
No, I bet he throws absolute darts at the line.
Almost guaranteed, yeah.
So hopefully he's back. Like, it's the classic, like, it's good for the competition if he's back here, but it actually is. Like, we don't want to see...
Well, especially as they lost, into that pre-World Cup.
Yeah.
Is it Olivon not playing? Was he? No, Olivon is playing. Someone else got injured. Aldrich?
Aldrich got injured.
So you take out their 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
And it's not really the same, is it? Yeah. But they're all very fortunate.
They Dante's back, but Dante was injured for a while.
They're pretty well stacked, which is a good thing.
Yes, they are. And he's obviously staying with the squad.
Yes.
Which means your man's not going to come in.
Yeah. It's a controversial opinion.
Yeah. Strap in, folks. If you're not seated, take a seat.
Yes. We had a discussion about the French nines, and I have always thought that Jean-Baptiste Seran is one of the best ones floating around. Can do everything. Very skillful. Classic French nine. Look, anyone that remembers Morgan Parra, sort of that mould, but plays a bit more expansively. My personal opinion is that he would be the best nine in the world if Antoine Dupont wasn't available, and therefore he'd been playing for France for the last few years. I think we looked, he's had 44 caps.
Seran.
Yes, Seran this is. So if you take away Dupont, however many he's had, and he plays those, he would have potentially hit 70 to 100 caps.
Yeah.
And everyone goes down and saying this bloke's unbelievable.
Yeah.
However, he's not even in the top three in France, apparently. So
Allegedly.
Yeah, exactly.
We also had the chat about, because you said he'd walk in, but then you maybe said he'd get in to, he'd start for pretty much
everything. I think, that's my personal opinion, is that if you looked at all the nations, if they had someone like that available to them, who kicks, controls games, does everything he needs to do, I don't see many nations where he wouldn't be within the top two nines.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm saying he would be the best, one of the best nines in the world, I'd probably have to double down and say that he would be ahead of pretty much everyone.
You've got to stick to your guns. Yeah. You've got to stick to your guns. I think I said maybe Jameson Gibson-Park.
Yeah, and maybe like Aaron Smith a few years ago. And
obviously Faf's in the mix.
Yeah, agreed.
Rafi Quirk, obviously.
Yep.
Hey, we'll have no negative Rafi chat on
this
podcast.
Yes, there's no negative about it, just not sure.
You just don't think he's as good as Antoine Dupont?
He's close.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's all I've wanted from you for the last 3 years.
If by close you can mean could not be further away.
One day.
Yeah.
One day. But yeah, he'll be back for the quarters, I have no doubt. We will get on to the quarters soon. We've got a few more to charge through for the weekend. Friday, it was a bit stagnated over the last week. Friday we just had one game again. We had Argentina-Samoa, Pool D. Argentina won 19 points to 10. They're just not really doing much, are they?
No, I was just out of curiosity there, was just looking at the table there.
Yeah.
And like, the good thing is that really, that spices up second place
in
the group. Because the likelihood is that England are going to go and win again, and then go 4 out of 4.
You'd like to think so.
And then there's, you've got Samoa on 5 points, Japan on 5 points, Argentina on 4 points, having all played 2 games. So there's some rugby to be played for that second team.
Yeah, which does make it interesting.
And likelihood is that team is going to end up playing Wales.
Yes, who we'll come on to for sure.
So, and Wales are in a good spot right now, but it's not the same as you come in second place and then draw and then playing against Ireland.
Who do you have taking that second place? Looks like it might be Japan at this point.
I mean,
Argentina are offering very
easy. I'd need to look at the who's playing who?
England are playing Samoa. I think Argentina are playing Japan.
So you've got Japan, Samoa is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Can I give you an answer in about 26 hours? It's not great for the podcast. I mean,
it's completely irrelevant for the podcast. I'd rather you give me one now. Okay. You can give me a different one in 26 hours.
I'll say Argentina.
Okay, I'll say Japan.
There you go.
There we go. I don't really know what's going wrong with Argentina because they've been really good for the last few years.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're just not quite at the races right now. Samoa are just...
Samoa.
They're just Samoa, aren't they? They're kind of... To be maybe harsh, do they flatter to deceive a little bit?
I'm not sure they still have that. I'm not sure if they have that wow that they had of a couple of years ago, where they could go and potentially turn over. On a day, you say they could turn over. You'd argue of the Pacific Island ones, obviously Fiji, and then you'd probably say then Tonga and then Samoa in that way. That's probably.
Is that anything to do with the fact that just like everyone's now just absolute specimens and like defences are so good?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, and back in the day, but quite possibly.
I think there's less of a gap physicality wise.
Between
the Pacific Islands.
Like if those boys Irish. Like the Samoans turn out against South Africa.
Yeah.
And you
even like Ireland now.
Yeah. Right? Yes. You're arguably closed. Yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah. So again, not much to learn about that.
Saturday was the day.
Yeah. So we'll get to, well, I mean Sunday was arguably the day, but we'll.
True.
Let's stick with Saturday. So. Georgia 18, Portugal 18.
Thriller.
Hell of a game.
Mm-hmm.
A great advert for Tier 2 rugby.
For sure.
Sort of a shame no one actually took it in the end. I think it would have been nice for either of those teams to get a good win.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Let's do... We'll come back to the monster game.
Yeah.
England 71, Chile 0.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot to talk about here, and there is. We are fairly biased on this podcast of
to talk towards Chile
of talking too much about Chile.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
So maybe let's go into it.
Yeah.
But you might need to rein me in from just talking about England too much.
There'll be a 30-second Marcus Smith timer.
Oh,
on you. God. I think that's fair.
Okay. In one go, can I do 29 seconds break?
Yeah, no. 30 seconds total. You can break it up however you want. Okay, so you can start with like, Marcus Smith is great. That's a second. Gone.
Okay.
If you want to. But
I'm not even going to start with Marcus Smith.
No, gone.
I'm going to start with Henry Arundel/Arundel.
Five
tries.
Yeah, not bad that.
Second man in English rugby, second male player in English rugby to ever do it. Can name the first.
Rory. Is that an Underwood?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh,
I thought you were talking McElroy. I was one of my favourite players from like back in the day. I always loved him as a player.
How long ago?
Sort of the Johnny era.
Lucy?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Josh Lucy is the only other
very good
English male to score five tries in the game. Mm-hmm. They were pretty much all walk-ins. Is that harsh? He's up. His chip and chase was lovely.
Chip and chase is good. Really well, I think what he does very well is if there's a half a gap or if there's a like a half break, he is he just seems to be in a good position, and that isn't by chance. No. Unless he is a man that's been blessed, but
he is a man that's been blessed.
Well, physically, yes, I mean, yes. he's always there, and you don't. However well your team are doing, to bag five is outrageous. So, it's pretty...
Good on him.
Yeah, agreed.
Good on him. Yeah, is he 20?
Not, yeah, maybe.
20 years old. Absolute specimen of a bloke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you described him as like an S&C coach's dream.
You would have thought so, yeah. I would imagine the sort of numbers that get pumped up in a gym or sprint speed would be pretty crazy.
I don't think we... Is he the kind of player... Does this actually help his case in this World Cup?
It was probably... It definitely does not hurt. It depends. If external pressure affects the camp, as in and puts pressure on decision-making for selection, then it definitely helps massively.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Was it a game where they were going to try a couple of different things, and I'm sure we'll come on to the 3-10s in a minute, where they were going to try stuff, probably. Do you know what you're going to get from him? Yes. Yeah. And did he really do anything wrong? No. He's shown that when he gets half a sniff, he's probably going to score.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I don't see another English player that is in the same elk as that. And if you're getting tight games where you only get two or three chances, if one or two of them fall to him and he scores, that wins you a game.
Yeah. It does. It does indeed. I guess there's a slight concern over some of his defensive stuff, maybe. Maybe we should pick players what they can do and not what they can't do, maybe. Who else did I think did well before getting onto the juicy stuff? I thought Theo Dan looked very accomplished.
Yep, agreed.
Much less worried about. It would not be good if Jamie Jordan were injured, but I'm much less worried about that.
55 minutes was a good, very good. Yeah.
Ribbons is a good player.
Yeah, unsurprisingly. Agreed.
Martin's also a very good player. Lewis Ludlam just does absolute bits whenever he's on the pitch.
Yeah. Jack Willis is crazy.
Jack Willis is mental. Billy Vunipola.
Yeah.
I'm struggling a little bit, to be honest. I don't think he's got like anywhere near enough output at the moment.
No, I would be interested in how much he carried and stuff, and it wasn't going to be as much of the attritional game.
No.
That you might get in fiction games coming up.
Yeah.
At the moment, do you see him starting? No.
Not for me, Clark. Not for me.
I don't know when. How long is Tom Curry back next game? Or does he make it for the quarter?
Quarters, I think.
Okay. Because then you've got that decision of, you've got, look, obviously, you imagine Law's going to play at starts, carry on at six.
I thought so.
And then, it's like, can they, then you've got a, it's what, it's a, what you a do seven and eight is going to be between Willis, Earls and Curry.
Yeah.
So therefore, Vunipola probably doesn't really come into the conversation.
For me, I think Ben Earls has been our best player in the World Cup so far. And like you say, if Curry's in the mix, the only way he gets on is if Curry's eight or if Earl's eight.
Yeah.
So I just think he's got to play. I think we sack off Billy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have him on the bench because he's not a kind of impact player. I think London's class off the bench. Yeah. Willis would be great off the bench. So for me, like when we get to the quarters, if everyone's back fit and not banned, I'm not sure Billy's in my 23.
I don't think he is.
To be honest.
Neither.
Unfortunately. Right, come on then. Let's do it. I'm still not going to talk about him.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to talk.
But it, not him specifically, but
I'm going to talk around him.
The wider picture.
Owen Farrell started the fly half.
He did.
Freddie Shewes didn't start at fullback.
He did not.
Okay.
Time has not gone yet.
Done that.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you think that worked?
The miscellaneous man at 15. no, I think your timer can go. it's a difficult one because England were very dominant and therefore the way they could play was not how we've seen them play in the previous two or three games. Obviously, it was a very exciting way that they tried to play. And
I thought
it evolved again the last 30 minutes when Ford came on.
Yeah.
And they had all three ball players, which is as a fan to watch a fan that wants to watch flowing rugby, having three world class fly halves on the pitch at the same time.
Yeah.
And Mark Smith does offer something that there's not many other tens. Yeah. Like you look at the way Bowden Barrett has obviously gone from 10 and now regularly playing for sort of 15.
And Smith's got that same like top end gas.
He does. And he's got that, can go and break a game up with his running game as well as everything else.
Yeah.
And it meant that he was picking off players in the sort of outside channels and having runners off him. I think it's was it one of the scores where he leaves it for Arundel to go through, I think, potentially?
Yeah. Yeah.
As like a second out the back option, and being able to do a little pump fake and sidestep and stuff in those channels is,
and the goose is
and George Ford has looked imperious.
Yes. Yeah.
Every time he's on the pitch this World Cup.
I also think he just has a little bit more. He kind of, for me, he like sits between Farrell and Smith in that he's like, he's got a bit more fizz and sharpness to than Farrell at the moment.
Yep.
But also a lot, like, more control than Smith does.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I definitely would like him at 10.
Well, the big question will be what they do.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's the quarters, isn't it, really? Like,
but will they start? Will they go all three to start?
I could see. Could I see or would I like? I would quite like. Mitchell at 9.
Yep.
Or to be fair, whoever at 9. I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
Ideally not Ben Youngs. No offense, Ben Youngs.
Said he played 100 and something against England.
Yeah. And he's done so very well.
Yes.
He's done so very, very well.
Yes.
But probably Mitchell. Mitchell's been good. So
yeah, I agree.
Let's go Mitchell at 9. I would quite like to see, if this isn't too much to ask for.
Go on.
Ford at 10.
Yep.
Farrell at 12.
Yep.
Manham at 13.
Yep.
Stewart on one wing.
Yeah.
A.N. Other on the other wing. I actually don't really mind whether it's Daly, May, Malins, Arundel.
Marchant's
not a bad shout. Marchant's quite a nice idea. I don't care.
Yeah.
Are those five? And Smith, someone, 15. And Smith at 15. Because I think Stewart.
Because what did they would have finished the game with, so Marchant came on for Malins, probably would have stayed on the wing, and Lawrence would have slid out to 13. So they finished the game with Youngs, Ford, Farrell, Lawrence,
yeah,
Marchant, Arundel, Smith,
yeah,
yeah.
So swap Lawrence for Manny,
and we want Stewart on the
wing. And I think yeah, we want Stewart on the wing.
Yeah.
I think that is an awesome, like, in terms of, like, getting people excited.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome selection.
Yeah.
But I actually think it works as well.
Yeah.
I think.
The Ford-Farrell dynamic has always been a bit of a sticky point. But
if you look at, like, their record and the most successful patch of English rugby over the last 8 years has been when those two play together.
Yeah.
Whether it's been right or wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it has been. And I think having Marcus there as well just gives that extra little bit of spice that we might need.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, shape defensively there is.
Well, Farrell defends like a 12, so that's not that.
No, I think that's fine.
Yeah,
I guess Ford could just still defend at 10.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hide Marcus on the wing.
He defends at 10 when he plays for Quinton most of the time, so he's not really. It's not the most brutal of back lines, but it offers. But you got Manu. You've potentially got a Marchant on the wing as well.
Stewart's a big boy.
But you would hope with that you're going to be playing in the right areas.
Yeah.
For 75% of that game, because you've got three people who are all tens who all kick very, very well in organised games and attack properly.
And if you need to carry, you've got Bernal, who seems to be able to do
a bit of everything.
200 minutes of rugby.
Yeah, well, that's
80 minutes every single week.
Yep.
Which is pretty crazy. Okay, so you're on board with that.
I don't mind that
as well.
I don't mind it.
Although you don't mind it, do you think there's any chance of Borthwick doing that in a quarterfinal?
If he starts against Samoa with it,
yeah,
and for 45 minutes it's working.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a feeling he will want Farrell in a 10 shirt come quarter final.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I thought Ford Farrell was like locked on.
I have a feeling. My gut is that he'll want. Ford could not have done more to say that is my 10 shirt. Yeah. I just have a feeling that that is how he wants to start that game. I'm not wrong, but that's how I think.
Blimey. George Ford play 12. That's
the question. They can wear the 10 and 12 shirt but play the other way around. That's fine.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely fine. Owen Farrell is my number 10.
Correct.
But he's not really. Alright. That was a good deep dive on England.
Mm.
Sunday, Scotland 45, Tonga 17.
Keeps that group very interesting.
Keeps it tasty. They got the bonus point.
Yeah.
Did what they needed to do. It was actually a good game. First half was really tight.
Yeah,
good. And then Scotland just a bit too good.
Yeah.
Your classic Pacific Island team.
Just pulled
away at the end.
Yeah.
But I thought Tonga looked good, to be fair.
They are dangerous.
They are. They are lethal. Was it this game? Or was it the game before that Piers had that step?
I think it was this game.
Was it this game? Yeah. And did you see Van der Merwe get absolutely sent to the clean? Yes.
I also, but I did also see Van der Merwe carry through about 16 people and then offload to...
I think he beat 12 defenders.
On that run or in total?
In total. But that's still quite impressive.
It is. Yeah. It is.
It's a shame for Scotland because they're just not going to beat Ireland. And even if they beat Ireland, Ireland will get a bonus point. And that's all they need.
Yeah, so... Because then...
Scotland need to win with 5 points.
Yeah.
And stop Ireland getting any points.
Tough.
Which is a pretty tough day out.
Yeah.
Because Ireland, as a side note, they're quite good at rugby.
Allegedly.
Yeah, so... I really struggle to see how Ireland do that. Scotland do that.
Yeah.
It's... I worry for them. Yeah. I worry for them. Which is a shame because it's probably the best Scottish size since like the 1960s or something, apparently. But they're not going to get. Out of the group.
Nope.
Which is a shame. So
they were always going to be unlikely.
They were. Yeah, they were. Bless them. Gave a good go though.
They did.
I tell you who's really good. And I actually said this when the announcement was made. I was sort of being mean-ish, but trying not to be mean.
Mm.
I said at the time that Stuart Hogg retiring.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Gave Scotland a better chance of getting out of the group. And I stand by that because Blair Kinghorn is unreal.
Very good.
He's so good.
Yeah.
Because
they went through a passage. I think Hugh Jones played a little bit at 15, didn't he?
He tried.
A little last year?
Yeah.
But I think they found themselves one there.
He's proper.
Yeah.
And wheels as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, game of the weekend. I've skipped over game of the weekend. We'll still go back to game of the weekend.
Fine.
Game of the day on Sunday.
Oh yeah.
Wales 40, Australia 6.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought?
Just occasionally hear that, folks. Wales, as in this Wales, got 40 points and Australia only got 6.
And that is 4-0.
Which means Australia are out of the group stage for the first time ever. In the World Cup. It means Wales are going through top.
Yep.
In the group. They were, I mean, it's one of those classics where Wales were really good. And
yes,
regular listeners will know I'm always very, very adamant to try and give Wales as little praise as possible.
Yeah.
Wales were very good.
Yeah.
Australia were really bad.
And they have been for a short while.
They were so bad.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what they were doing.
No.
They had absolutely nothing about them.
No, I.
The only thing I can remember that was half good was like Donaldson made like a half break at one point and then passed it to a Welsh player. That's like the only thing I can remember that was good. But
I don't know. I know what you're going to ask me, I don't know.
It is almost unfathomable that they find themselves in a situation like that.
Donaldson's a fine player. McDermott's a good player, whatever. But outside that, you've got Karevi Pataia, Korobeti, and Nawakana Tawasi, or however you say his name.
I think that's pretty much bang on that. How are you not getting them?
I mean, obviously Tupou got injured, Skelton got injured, which is a real shitter.
Yes. Like,
that's a real, real shitter.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've still got some.
I would also imagine there's a lot of people in the Australia camp sitting in there going, looking around the room and going, how on earth are we in this position?
Yeah.
They must look at people around that who they play week in, or like play with them against week in, week out, and see rugby stuff and just look at them and go, who are you?
But, I mean, they weren't. It's not. Fiji are obviously like genuinely becoming a much, 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 much better rugby team.
Correct.
Rather than just being the Fijian Flyers who just chuck it about.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can kind of forgive them losing to Fiji, to be honest, because Fiji are class.
Yep.
I can't really forgive you needing to win against Wales.
Having your head coach say, don't worry, we will play tomorrow because we will win on Sunday.
We will win the game, and we didn't come here for croissants.
Yeah. Many croissants eaten.
Oh my God, I hope those boys are actually tucking into some croissants.
Ah, yeah.
It was just, it was like a training run.
Yeah.
Literally like a training run.
Yeah.
Shout out Anscombe, being got injured after 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Gareth Anscombe, that's his George Ford moment, I feel like.
Yes.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable. Just did everything he needs to. Obviously, New Zealand descent, probably quite enjoyed sticking to the Aussies as well.
I would have thought so.
Nick Tompkins, I'm going to give a Welshman some praise.
Careful.
He's up there with the best 12s in the world.
What about George Ford? He plays 12 next weekend.
Who's better than Tompkins? Dante is better than Tompkins. Jordy Barrett is better than Tompkins.
Yeah.
But he's injured.
So you picking Damien Dale, Andy? We're going to go on to it, but I can categorically tell you what.
Yes.
Bundyaki.
but Nick Tompkins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like top 7 or 8 12s in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just Nick Tompkins.
Yeah, he's won. He's played for Sandy.
I know.
I can see what you're saying, but yeah.
Who else is good for them? Let's just name players that are good at rugby. That's the thing, I look through the team, I'm like...
The whole back row.
The back row's class. Jack Morgan is the second best player in the world behind Arnold, probably.
In recent form, you'd go with that.
Yeah.
I like the fact he went into the presser afterwards, just blood still, like, cut from his nose. Yeah, like, just sat there, like nothing was wrong with his face.
Really enjoyed his 22-22 as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely banged it. He's very good. I'm now even more pleased that England are going well, because
I
would be
terrified
about losing to Wales in the quarterfinal. If we lose to Fiji, shake hands, have a beer, well done, lads, move on.
Yeah, couple.
Hope you win the tournament.
Yeah,
carry on.
Yeah,
if we lost to Wales, I couldn't bear it.
I'd be the worst.
I could not bear it. But I mean, they are flying in their group. Put up the table. They're 14 points from three.
So you've got So at the moment you've got Ireland 3-3, 14 points. Wales 3-3, 14 points. England 3-3, 14 points.
Yeah.
The home nations doing
fine.
Bits.
Yeah, absolutely fine. And not many of them will get much further. Okay, let's do it, because we said we'd do half an hour and we're 33 minutes in.
Yeah.
Game of the weekend.
If there's a better game of rugby for every whole thing added together, this World Cup, then we have got an absolute cracker lined up, because this was something special.
And on paper, South Africa 8, Ireland 13. One try for South Africa.
Agreed.
One try for Ireland.
So to put into context, my housemate didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Wanted to watch, so on watched a 7-minute highlight clip the next day.
Thought it was shit.
And was just like, and I was like, genuinely, you know the score, you need to go and watch the whole match because it is just out of this world. Yeah.
It was absolutely incredible.
Yes.
Like the best game of rugby I've seen for so long.
Oh, it had everything.
I guess there might be people listening that mentally haven't heard of you as a rugby player.
Crazy.
for context.
So they don't follow. The Die Hard Championship from 4 years ago, Craig.
For context, you are much more educated in these things than I am. You played 8 years of professional rugby, something like that.
Yeah.
8 or 9 years of professional rugby. A little bit for Worcester and then a lot for Jersey Reds.
Yeah.
In the Mighty Champ, who are flying at the moment.
Oh. All they needed was me to retire.
it's been a steady up.
I tell you, it really has. Shackles have been released. That's for sure.
But that was sort of a backhanded compliment to say understand things more than I do.
Yes.
I don't think I'm that good at describing why I thought that game was so good.
Okay.
Can you try?
I'll try. It had a bit of everything. They had both teams turned up with the physicality, which was like through the roof. You knew there was going to be, well, what was it? 7-1 split South Africa bench. With a 9 on the bench. So, who could probably do a bit in the wing. He could probably. Yeah. So you know the sort of game that you're going to get from South Africa. You're going to get people coming around. You've got every person weighing over about 120 kilos, who's probably about 6'6", running around the corner and just going, I'm making game line. And then in defence, I'm getting off line, I'm going to hurt people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their chat before was, we are going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And if we lose the game, we win the game, they're going to know that we've battered them for 80 minutes.
So when we meet them again in the final.
Correct. And I'm almost without doubt, that was a thing. And everything they threw at Ireland's dealt with. You've got, is Sexton 40 yet?
38.
You've got a 38-year-old bloke who is just still, just operates at a different level to pretty much everyone as far as 10s in the world. When he needed to organise and control games, he did. You've got some bloke who I think apparently only went to Ireland for a piss-up, and now Matt Hansen now starts on the wing. Apparently that's why he moved to Ireland.
And he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is there a better... I mean, they're the best team in the world, so obviously not, but him and Lowe as wingers.
And then I think, hands down, the best player on that pitch. There was a lot of very, very good role players, on this day, Bundyaki was... If he performs like that for the rest of the World Cup, or even 90% of that, Ireland are going to be very, very difficult to beat, because he was just
had them all on touch.
Just crazy. When you look at everything he needed to do,
just
insane. Just absolutely insane. Because
my favourite thing that he did was we're definitely going to have to wrap it up fairly soon. We've got 10% battery left, folks. My favourite thing he did was a tackle about 3 metres off the line on Jesse Creel.
Yes.
Do you remember it?
Yeah.
Where South Africa got like 7 options at the back, and Aki just puts in this like absolutely perfect tackle on the right option, brings him down before the line.
Yeah.
And I think Ireland won the ball a couple of phases later.
Yeah.
I was like, you talk about like being in the zone. He was just like locked in.
Yes.
Every single thing he did was exactly the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And he was just melting, boys.
Yeah.
He was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Obviously, slight concern, I think, was it Van der Vleer, like, got finger dislocation and stuff like that, for, like, within the first, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But carried on, bashed through. I found that South Africa, once their physicality wasn't working, and even once they rolled off the bomb squad off the bench, they'd done their 6-7 forward replaces by the 64th minute.
Yeah.
I include, so full front row, both second rows, Khaleesi went off, Visa went off.
Yeah.
So just Stefan Vitatoy played the whole game. Yeah. Even once they'd done that and they weren't getting that traction, then you're asking questions. I would say they obviously missed some kicks. A couple were you'd expect to make, and then a couple of free digs from the halfway line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I would also argue that last maul, that looked like, I can see why I stopped it, but that ball is very available.
I rewatched it.
Yeah.
Because I thought the same. And I think if you just watch it, I think it's a terrible decision.
Yeah.
But if you listen to it,
He's
like, his communication. He's like, he like explains perfectly. He tells them to use it.
Yeah.
And they don't use it. The ball is available.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't use it.
Yeah.
So like,
it's difficult when you've got 13 players in the mall.
He's communicated, I think, the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But perfectly.
Yeah, okay.
So I think it is a tough one. But to be fair, Ireland probably would have just made another tackle and won a turnover.
More than likely. Bundyaki would have come flying and it would have done fine.
Do you think, there's obviously been a lot made of this like 7-1 split.
Yeah.
Way more than I think needs to be made of it, personally.
Yeah,
like people kicking off about moral issues.
Oh, no, I don't have any. Yeah, no. It's a tactic, isn't it?
The thing I find it interesting is that is people that like say it's a risky thing. When you look at their back line, I don't see it as that risky. They've got Ryan Acker, can obviously play 9 or on the wing.
Yeah.
Faf can play 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Lobot plays 10.
Yeah.
Creel can play 13, 11, 14, 15.
Yeah.
Valemzi can play 15 or 10.
Yeah.
Colby can play 15.
Yeah.
Like, they've got so many people that can just do lots of other things. I know you're lacking like specialists.
The only thing I find is that from, you look at the way that, like, if you've got someone that's within that backline split who can come on and do something a little bit different.
Yeah.
The issue, like, if you're thinking that Willemsen could go to 10 and change things up, he played at first receiver quite a bit anyway, yeah, and it isn't working, and, yeah, he's pretty good outside. He's got some yeah, step on him. The one, yeah, he's offering against River Road.
Yeah, yeah. He's like probably one of the best defenders in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially in that outside channel. Yeah. And they don't have that. They can't look at the bench and go, we need to change at 12. We want a ball player at 12. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well,
you
want to
chuck Caden Moody on or something.
Yeah. So it's like, we'll now have a proper ball to player at 12 because something's changed. And you go, right, well, we're going to have to bring Ryan Akan to go on the wing, to put Willemsen to 12, to put, yeah, Colby to 15,
yeah,
which is fine, but that they're still the same sort of players, yeah, and you've not got, and then all of a sudden you've got a 9 on the wing who is rapid and scores loads of tries, but it's not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Ack is good to change a game if he gets an interception because he's going to score because he's rapid.
But I think
That's good.
I don't have no issues with the morals of it. No, if they went 8-0, I'd be like, all for it. Because it's a risk, isn't it? Because if they've got no 9, you'd say, well, tell you what, as a man that played 9 for all my life, shows how important I was.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly.
Specialist position, crucial, essential.
Yeah, but you were essentially employed in Jersey.
Officially, wasn't it?
According to the tax man.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, but Quaggersmith's like smaller than most backs anyway.
Yeah.
So like, I just don't get it. I don't get why everyone was kicking off about it.
No, neither.
I feel like, mm-hmm, bearing in mind South Africa weren't at their best, they did miss some kicks at goal.
Yeah.
They've got Hondre Pollard coming into the squad.
Yeah.
Well, he's in the squad now.
Yeah.
I still think they're in a pretty good place.
Oh, for sure.
Because this was an unbelievable test for them.
Yeah.
They really weren't very far off at all.
No.
And they've still got quite a bit to add.
Yeah.
So, I agree. Do you think this is going to be the final?
There'll be... If it's not, there has to have been a big upset rolling around the corner.
Even though France and Dupont are still in the comp, do you still see these two as the strongest?
I would have to look at who goes which way and goes...
Well, France will play New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then the winner of that... No, that's not true. France and New Zealand in the same group. France are going to play...
The bottom of this one, second of this one?
Second of this one, so probably South Africa, maybe Scotland.
Now that's
France, South Africa in a quarter.
That's some box office stuff, that.
So one of these, South Africa or France are going home.
So if Dupont can't make the quarter final,
South Africa win.
I would say so.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I like it.
And yeah.
I like it. Well, let's do that very quickly.
Yeah.
Before we go.
Yeah.
So I know it is exceptionally late. 22 minutes to 10.
We're now at a point where it's something to 10.
Yeah, it's not past 9 anymore. It's 7 to 10, which is an absolute disaster. So, let's have a look. So, the quarterfinals are likely going to be... Bear with us. Likely going to be Wales versus Argentina or Japan.
Yeah.
Or Samoa.
Yep.
But let's say Argentina or Japan.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Wales win.
Wales win either of those.
Agreed.
I think. Okay. Quarterfinal 2 is...
It's England.
Might be England. No, not on this chart. It's going to be Ireland playing
New Zealand.
Yeah.
Probably New Zealand or Italy.
I've been saying this.
No, you keep shooting down. 30 points.
It's not only 30 points. For what it's worth, just so it's on record, I think Italy are going to give New Zealand a proper game.
I don't.
On Friday night.
Friday night. I don't.
You don't.
No. Okay. I like I've said.
29.5.
I've said my handicapping is 29.5. For those wondering, and I am pretty confident.
Okay, so let's assume New Zealand somehow scraped by Italy.
Yeah.
And then...
France.
No, Ireland.
Ireland versus New Zealand.
Ireland.
I saw an article someone said the other day about how, when was the last World Cup, you go into the quarterfinals
and no one is mentioning
New Zealand. They're going through as like underdogs, which I reckon secretly they haven't got that aura they have, but I reckon behind closed doors, they're secretly happy that everyone's just kind of writing them off already.
Well, you chuck the ball out of their backs and then share the gap.
Yeah.
Like, give it Rico Ioane.
Yeah, exactly.
Quarterfinal three.
That's England.
Is England, and it's going to be against Fiji.
Yeah.
We lost a few weeks ago to Fiji.
Yeah.
England are in a different stratosphere.
Oh, yeah, correct. I genuinely don't see a world where Fiji win that game.
Oh, no, don't you?
I don't. Oh. I truly don't. Not a one-off World Cup warm-up game, like, fine.
Yeah.
A World Cup quarter-final, they don't lose that game.
When they've had to go to the well against Australia and Wales.
Yeah, and then England have been playing some rugby. There's no way they lose that game.
What I would say is cancel that.
Gone.
No, I thought I did.
Yeah, and if there's a team that could go and score 30 points and a half without actually doing anything, without having the ball, would be Fiji.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening.
No. I think I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not quite as confident as you.
I am not.
I think I agree. But I'm also quite relaxed because I love Fiji so much.
Yeah.
If we lost to Fiji in the quarterfinal,
yeah.
It's great for the game. It's great for the game, isn't it? Yeah. Bloody hell, it's good for the game. Yeah. Rugby's the real one. And then the final quarterfinal, therefore, is going to be. Hang on.
It was New Zealand Lions. It'll be France, South Africa, or Scotland, but South.
Or Scotland, but probably South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Who knows?
The fact that
do you literally think with the pont France without the pont South Africa? Do you think it's
It's not that simple.
But for the sake of 3% on the iPad.
Yes.
Good. Thank you very much. And that does it for. I'm very excited for that game.
Yeah. We'll go back to player of the last round.
Yes.
And try of the last round.
Yes.
I can't
think
of anything bad stuff. So
let me get my list. Did you give a prediction? You've just got to claim it.
For which one?
Well, we're assuming DuPont's going to play, aren't we? So you think France?
To France, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So I think it'll be...
So
England will win.
England.
Ireland.
Ireland, Wales.
France.
France? No Southern Hemisphere teams? In the semi-finals?
Yeah, okay. Well, there's only two, and I don't think New Zealand are going to win. Ireland. And
therefore... You don't think South Africa going to be...
Unless DuPont doesn't play.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Oh, then that means fucking Wales are only one game away from a World Cup final.
That's true. But, yeah. And they play the other side. Ah, they won't beat either of the other two teams as well.
Okay.
They might beat us, but...
I hope we get out before we have to.
Now, picture this scene. World Cup final. A rip-rag team. England... Wales. No. They just somehow got there. Neither know how, neither know why.
I couldn't do it.
I honestly don't know what you...
I'd rather not get to the final.
I'd agree.
Than risk losing in the finals.
I'd rather not get there and Wales still win. If they were to beat England in a World Cup final...
I can't do that.
No.
I can't do that.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Player of the week for this round that we've just spoken about. I've got mine.
I'll go Bundyaki. It was really close with him and DuPont, but DuPont, because playing in Namibia, I'll go Bundyaki against Africa.
Which is the right call.
Thank you.
I'm putting in Gareth Hanscom because I like him. And he was unbelievable.
Yeah, fair enough.
We sort of christened this in the last episode, the anti All Blacks award. All Blacks have a no dickhead policy.
So therefore
the anti All Blacks award would be the biggest dickhead of the week.
The Namibian man.
Of hating DuPont.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice that we apologise.
Yeah, but
on social media.
IRL. It's not he was a dick.
He just ruined the World Cup.
He may well have done, yes.
I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Disappointment dickhead of the week.
The disappointed dad award.
Yeah, agreed, yeah.
Try of the week. God, there's a lot of tries.
The two that spring to mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm an English fan, was the Marcus Smith one.
The grubber.
Yeah.
Yeah, filth.
So fast. But I think it will be on the stroke of half-time, France-Namibia, quick tap from DuPont, beats one, steps back.
Crossfield kick.
With his wrong foot, while being absolutely smoked.
He doesn't have a wrong foot.
tray, but while being absolutely smoked, puts it on a six. Yeah. But we're here to watch some golf boys hit flags. Could not put it. Right, give me 300 yards to par four. I've got a better chance. And I used to play rugby.
You're quite good at golf, to be fair. Okay, good. Last week, folks, we did tackle of the week and referee of the week. This week, we can't do that because we have 2% left and neither of us can think of either of those things. Ben O'Keefe.
You've already said Bundyaki Sackle.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. It seems
done. Okay, Bundyaki Sackle on Jesse Creel.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
And ref of the week, I'm going to give Ben O'Keefe. I thought he actually did the South Korean game incredibly well.
Mm.
Last decision might be contentious, fine.
But
that game was just mental.
Yeah.
So much physicality.
I text a group before saying, I really hope this game isn't ruined by a card.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
No, so.
At all.
I'm in.
Cool. Well done, Ben. I'm sure you'll be delighted to hear that. Right. I think that does it, mate. You're going to be in bed before 10 o'clock here.
You push your luck
in. No, you're your beauty regime to go through, aren't you?
Yeah, there's a reason why I sold it.
Right, that does it for episode 37 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by rug.co.uk and Artist Images. Joel, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it as ever. I'm sure we'll have you back on fairly soon. You can find us on Twitter at rugby, Instagram rug.co.uk, and just search rugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. You can visit our website, rug.co.uk, for all of the latest rugby news and features. And links to all of those channels and our website can be found in the episode description. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to, rate and share the podcast. Enjoy another weekend of World Cup rugby, and we will see you next week.